Number 58 have been announced as our song of encouragement for this evening. And we hope, trust, and pray as we prepare for the invitation song in just a few moments, that there might be those in this beautiful audience this evening who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, but who have a desire to want to do so. Certainly, I am delighted to see so many of my comrades, fellow gospel preachers, who have come to support this meeting. And I want to say to Brother Justin, we have certainly enjoyed him and his lovely wife for the hospitality, the fellowship that we have been able to enjoy. And certainly as I look out, I see his family, his father-in-law, grandfather-in-law, and who are gospel preachers here. So I know he has to be on the up and up. And Brother Bill did a thumbs up. But it's not only do we see these men, but there are other gospel preachers that are here. I see Brother Underwood from the Noah congregation, Brother Williams from New Union, another Brother Williams from New Brick, amen, along with some of the other members from New Brick. Brother King, former minister at Hiawassee. But it's just so good to look out and to see these brethren who have come to support this meeting. And you should be grateful that you have men in the brotherhood who still support and encourage each other in the spreading of the gospel of Christ. As I tell you, I tell others wherever I go, many times when I go to a congregation where it is predominantly white, I tell you that you've heard the gospel in white, but I'm just giving it to you in black. And so you now have it in black and white. And it ought to be so plain that anybody can understand it because it's in black and white. Is that all right? But we're just glad to have each of you here on this evening. I hope, trust, and pray that our gathering together tonight will be for the good and not for the bad. As I said, our theme is kind of dealing with to tell the truth. We talked on Sunday morning for Bible study, the truth that makes men free. On Sunday morning during the worship hour, we talked on the subject, the harvest is white, but the workers are on strike. Showing Brother King that even though evangelism is necessary, many of our members don't seem to deem it important. And because of that, we are at a work shortage, just like GM and others might be today. Then on last night, we asked the question or talked on the subject, what must I do not to be saved, but to remain faithful? What must I do to remain faithful? Tonight, as we mentioned, we're going to the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I want you to meet me at verse number 11. We're going to terminate around verse number 24. Luke chapter number 15. The verse is 11 down through verse 24. If you have your Bibles, it reads, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there went his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose bloody famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The farmer's weather vane read, God is love. What does that mean? Ask the passerby. Are you suggesting that God changes like the weather? No, said the farmer. That weather vane reminds me that God loves, he loves me no matter which way the wind of life blows. I don't know if you understand that or not, but there are over 31,000 verses in the Bible. And that's the verse from John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Indeed, love is of God. For as John said in 1 John chapter 4, round about verses 7 through 10, that love is of God, for God is love. Jesus' parable of the prodigal son could be added to the many verses of Scripture that reminds us of God's love. I don't know about you, but when I go passages such as Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, where Paul said, for he had commended himself, in other words, he had given himself for us, God, Christ had. For God commended his love toward us, in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. I like that passage. When I look at other passages, such as Romans 8, 39, it lets us know that even though Paul went through so much in his life, he realized that neither it was death nor life that would keep him from the love of God. And there are many others we can look at. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11, and also 14. Ephesians 2 and verse number 4. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John 4, 8 through 10. All of these passages show us how that God loves us. It has been called the gospel within the gospel. Because as much as any other passage, it depicts the deep feeling that God has for us, Brother Boyd, even when we make a mess of our lives. And you know that happens every now and then. That's why the Bible tells me in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6 and verse 24, I hear the Apostle Paul saying, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But this evening I want to use as the subject, God is calling the prodigal. That's the invitation song. And I appreciate Brother Johnny for leading us in the beautiful singing this week. Brother King for the beautiful prayer. And Brother Boyd, I'm going to go ahead and thank you, because I know you're going to word a beautiful prayer at the close. But I appreciate these men. Appreciate what they have done and their stance for truth. But I want to use this lesson tonight because I hope to encourage somebody that may feel like that prodigal son. Feel like they have just wasted their lives. But I want to let you know that God loves you. He loves you and He wants you to come back home. And He don't want you to stay out there where you are. And so that's why we use this lesson tonight. God is calling the prodigal. This song was written over there around 1889 by Charles H. Gabriel. He died, I'm told, in the year of 1932. And he wrote his words. Not only did he write the words, but he also wrote the music. Only God knows how many true prodigals have answered the gospel call, the invitation, made their way down the church aisles and gave God their hearts, the preacher their hands, as this song that we're going to sing in just a few moments, as it was sung. But what makes this song so great, brothers and sisters and friends, is that it's moving expression of one of the most touching passages in the Holy Scriptures. I know my brother have preached this sermon. I know all of these ministers here have preached from the 15th chapter of Luke. But I want to make sure that we understand this evening that God, He allows us to do so much, but He still loves us. This parable, as William Barclay accurately called it on one occasion, he said it's the greatest short story in the world. We must remember that every parable is true in that it did happen or it could happen. And Jesus here pictures for us two sons that this man had, whose actions were all familiar in real life, Brother Pettigo. Both are seen to have some selfish and as well as childish traits. I wish we had time tonight to deal with the older brother, but that's a lesson by itself, because he represents a lot of us sometimes. But Jesus, as I said, he has pictured for us two sons whose actions are all too familiar in our lives today. The new revelation is seen in looking at their father, with the main aim being to display and to confirm the amazing mercy and the great grace of our loving Heavenly Father. Even after grievous doings and disastrous deeds, they disappoint our God. His loving arms are still open. He's still seeking to pull us back. As Jesus says in John, or in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is telling us that. But even though God the Father, He's allowing us to get out there, the wondrous love of God welcomes us back home. Oh yes, those who are weary this evening, those who are filled with sin this evening, He wants you back. This is the law, also is a manual. This lesson is a manual for parents, and I know we have many here. We have many grandparents. But this lesson this evening is a manual for every parent on child rearing. Sooner or later, these great truths will need application in every home. And every family, with this main thrust on God's family, especially the church. So yes, this lesson this evening hopefully is valuable to somebody. So what's the subject? It's simply God is calling. He's calling the prodigal. But what can we learn from the prodigal? Real quickly, I'm going to give you several points and the lesson will be yours. But first of all, when we look at this particular incident, we find that God let this young man go. He let him go. Look at verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. See, that's one of the problems right there, give me. Our world is filled with that today, brothers. Many of our young folks, they think everything has to be given to them. They don't want to work for anything anymore, but they want you to give it to them. Father, give me. This young man said, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. From the start of this lesson, we find some important lessons about our Father. First of all, we need to understand that requests from our children, Brother Bill, are hard many times to resist. Those of you who have grandchildren, those of you who have children, sometimes it's just hard to say no, but every now and then we've got to say no. Amen. Don't y'all get quiet on me tonight. See, God loves to answer the prayer of His children. We know that. When you go to Matthew chapter number 7, look at it real quick. Matthew chapter 7, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, I'm going to go to verse number 7 first. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, or asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Is that in your Bible? When you drop down to verse number 10, the Bible says, verse 9, what man is there of you of whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? And this is exactly what the Father does. God, even in the parable, we find that He was willing to give this young man his portion, his inheritance, give him his. And it wasn't long after he got it that he decided that he was going to leave home. See, God will respond if we insist on something. Children soon develop a unique ability to wear parents down. Y'all know how they do. Until they grant their wishes. Mama, 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 daddy, daddy, daddy. You know how it was. We used to wear our parents out. When we wanted something from the store, they tell us no. We keep on. Finally, sometimes they give in, and sometimes they wouldn't. But the majority of the time, they give in. And that happens even today. Our Heavenly Father also will give us what we are determined to have, come what may. You know, this is how the Israelites got their king over there in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. If you're taking notes, you might want to write that passage down. I'm not going to go over there, but this is how they did. And thirdly, God had to tell Samuel, go ahead and let her and grant her wish. If folks are determined to err, guess what God will do? God will also do what? Send them a strong delusion. Brother Reed, he'll send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie instead of the truth, according to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Why? Because they have already rejected many times his truths. And that's exactly what this young man did. Here we recognize the God-given gift of freedom of will. The freedom, like any other, it carries a great price. When you choose to do your own thing, and young people, we have them here, you need to understand that when we decide that we're going to do our own thing, and we are 3 times 7 and all this type of thing, we need to be careful, because there comes a time when we as parents must let our children go. For better or for worse. I know we don't want to do it, but sometimes that happens. Love. And you know, someone has said, we cannot mother in our children till death. That just doesn't work. They've got to live their lives. In Proverbs 22:6, I believe Solomon said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm not saying that children are going to never depart, but I guarantee you, Brother Charles, if they do, they will remember what was instilled in them as parents. I believe fathers have that responsibility in Ephesians chapter 4, Brother Underwood, over there in Ephesians 6 and 4. Father, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So there comes a time when, as parents, we have to let our children go. It's clear from the context that the younger son, he longs to grow up. We all do. We think a lot of times we know best, when Brother King, truly the father, knows best. That's what we need to look at. The young son demanded his inheritance. So we find that his father gives it to him. And in not many days after that he decides that he's going to go into a far country. So not only, first of all, does God let him go, but secondly, we find that God let him sow. So you think about that. He let him go, but he let him also sow. What did he sow? He sowed those wild oats. That's what he did. Let's look at verse number 13. Verse number 13, the Bible says that not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. There it is. He takes his money, Brother Bill, and run. Y'all heard that song, haven't you? You take the money and run. He took his money and he ran, thinking he would never have use for his own life again. He decided, I'm going to just burn my bridge behind me. And he just took off. Y'all know folks like that? Lord, just do this. You don't have to say amen. But you just shake your head. See, remind me, Brother Charles, of Jonah. Y'all remember Jonah? Over the book of Jonah. You remember Jonah? He was running from God. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he decided, hey, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. From where I'm going to run about 500 miles. But he ended up going to Joppa, caught him a ship, Brother Key, and he went down to Tarshish, 2,500 miles on down the other way. Isn't that something? Here God just told him to go, but here he went 2,500 miles the other way, when God told him just to go up that way. Well, I'm here to tell you, in both cases, God does not stop these individuals from leaving, but he does make sure their trip will be a memorable one. Y'all know Jonah was. Amen, right? Y'all know Jonah was. He got caught in that storm, you know, and they had to throw him overboard, and he got swallowed up by a big fish. Hello, somebody. Oh, yeah. And here this young man, this young whippersnapper, he decided he was going to spend his money and live his life any way he wanted to, and he got caught up in all kinds of things. Probably had all kinds of women. Amen. Probably had all kind of friends, boyfriends as well, because I'm quite sure he was probably just living it up. Man, I got it. You know, they say, hey, can I have a dollar? He'd give them 20. Hello, somebody. In both cases, though, we find that God doesn't stop them from leaving. But he makes sure that they, when they left, whether it was Jonah or the prodigal son, they would remember what they had done. Our Father allows freedom to sow whatever kind of seed we choose. But guess what? Fruits of the Spirit they could have sown, or the wild oats. And in this case, it was wild oats. Amen. And the word for trip, Brother King, is often used to describe the thrilling high that the drug abuse offers. Folks will say, man, I was on a high trip. The Word of God warns us first to stop and to read the label. For sin is bad medicine. I'm here to tell you that, young folk, middle-aged folk, amen. We got some older folk. Hello, somebody. There was a man just the other day in Murfreesboro. They caught a word up in Virginia somewhere trying to seduce some children. 70-some years old. So let me tell you something. The devil, he's busy working on everybody. It's not just the young people anymore. He works on everybody. We need to let folks know that sin is a bad trip. How do you know? Let me let Paul tell you about it. Galatians chapter 6, round about verse number 7. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. And then he said in verse 9, and let us be not weary in well doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So what are you saying? Remember, sin, Brother Justin, I know you preach this, but sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. You think about that. That's sin. This young man, he wasted. The Greek word is squander. He scattered his substance with riotous living. It is the same word describing the terrible persecution that came upon the early church over there in Jerusalem in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Round about verse 4, the Bible says, those disciples who had been persecuted, they that were scattered abroad, what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word. Thank God they did that. These Christians were literally sown as wheat far and wide. Yet they held fast, faithfully spreading the word of God with them. And here was a young man, though, wasteful and wasted his potential. He wasted the opportunity to move forward and to do some great thing. He failed to be the example that he should have been. But here we find him, Brother King, in that having to go and feed the swine because he was left with nothing. He went to find help, and the folk that he thought would help him, they couldn't help. All his friends that he thought he had, you know, that's what happened. Either when all your money's gone, what happened to your friends? They disappear too. They do a magic act, brother. Brother. Oh, yes, they do. So what are you saying? I'm saying this young man wasted his potential. He failed to anything but fleeting pleasures, and nothing could slow down his wild life. It was party time for him. But guess what? I've been told first you play, then you pay. Is that all right? First you play, and then you pay. Sowing is bound to be shortly followed by the reaping. Satan does not want us to see this side of sin. He don't want us to see what the guilt does. He don't want us to see the shame. He don't want us to see the diseases, the VDs, and all of these type of things. That's why Paul could say in Romans 1 and verse 21, he details sin that pays off in the recompense of their error, which was meat. Romans 1, 27. So God let him go. God let him sow. And then thirdly, God let him grow. He let him grow. Look at verses 14 through 17. Look at the text. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swine. See, I told you. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. God let him go. He let him sow. And now God is letting him grow. The Greek word for want means to be late, to fall short, to come behind, to fall behind. Romans 3:23, we've already given you that text. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We soon come to our limits if we try to live independent from God. And I know these preachers have preached this time and time again, and especially to our youth, we try to encourage them, don't try to live by yourself. You need somebody. On our walk with our Father, he does not promise that we will be rich or that we'll be famous in this life, but he does guarantee our needs will be met. That's why Jesus could say in Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. See, money will let you down. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it'll do that. It may let you be high for a little while, but then it'll bring you back down. Your friends, they may let you down. Is that all right? That's why I work for the funeral home, Brother Charles, because I tell them all the time, we're the last people that'll let you down. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. Oh, yeah. People love working with us because we're the last one to let them down. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, we are living in a time where money will let us down. How you know? Because Peter describes silver and gold as being corruptible. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. Paul taught that worldly wealth amounts to uncertain riches according to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Jesus said we don't need to lay our treasure on the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But he encourages us to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, Brother King. Where neither thieves can break through and steal. He said, for where your treasure is, where your heart will be also. That's what Jesus said about it. So all he had was now gone with the wind. I'm talking about this prodigal now. This was a very important lesson that he had learned. Then at the worst time, a famine strikes. He had everything going for him, he thought, but then that famine came in, and man, he was left without anything. So our God, he lets us go. He lets us sow. He lets us grow from the mistakes that we make. But then we find that God lets him know. He lets him know. Look at verses 17 through 24, real quick as we come to our close. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father, look at that, saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servant, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Let me tell you, friends, fathers know best. Amen. Your father should have said something. I know I'm talking about the Heavenly Father, but as fathers, we ought to know best. I have a son, I have a daughter, have grandchildren. And I'm here to tell you, fathers still know best many times. They may not think they do. They still think, Brother Charles, that we're L7s. IKEA think we're L7. If you put an L and a 7 together, you'll find it makes a square. Amen. And so I'm here to tell you, a lot of IKEA think that we're just squares, that we don't know what's going on. But I stop to tell you, even this young man realized that father knows best. I don't know what his father said to him before he left home, but I'm quite sure he may have encouraged him not to leave. He did his own thing. God knows who we are. We are the sons of God Almighty. He wants us to know it. Matter of fact, this young man said when he was sitting there after he had lost everything and having to be sitting down and had it wanting to even eat of the, you know, of the fruit that he was feeding the hogs, that corn or whatever it was. He came to himself. And the Bible says in verse 17 that when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and here I'm perishing with hunger." He was hungry. He wants to know it. He came to himself. And God has given us a wonderful gift called memory. He gives that to all of us, doesn't he? Oh, there are times when we wish that we didn't remember some things. I can still remember some stuff that I did in high school. Amen. Brother Pettigold's mother was one of my teachers back in the day. She could probably tell you a lot of stuff about me. Amen. In her day. But God has given us a wonderful gift called memory. And you know, sin, it seemed to blind us to the degree that we can lose our senses. Knowledge is the key to wisdom. We said on Sunday morning in John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that will make you free." It took this many things. It took this many things to shock this young man into reality. He was going through a lot. Suddenly a light from heaven, this young man's heart rushed back home. He thought about home, verse 17. God wants us to know. Even though we left home and many have lost everything, we still have a Father who never lets us lack for anything. The voice of God continually calls the erring soul back home. Our song of invitation accurately describes the voice of God, and now comes through His Son, Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. When I think about this young man and what he did, I realize there was a repentance at that time. Not only was there a repentance, but there was a realization. That's when he came to himself. There was a resolve, verse 18. There was a return, verse 20. Finally, there was a reception, verses 20 through 24. I tell this everywhere I go. Everybody was probably happy, Brother Charles, on that occasion, but the older brother and the fatted calf. And the reason being was the fatted calf was going to give his life, and the elder brother was mad that the younger brother came back home, and he was upset too. So only two individuals were upset. It was that fatted calf and the elder brother. The father let him know we need to rejoice because this young son, this brother of yours, he was dead at one time, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. God is calling the prodigal. There might be somebody here this evening who may be just like that old, that prodigal son, who decided I'm going to do my thing and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. But guess what? God can show us what He can do. This young man realized that. But his father, we see that love again that we talked about from the very beginning. How we can get ourselves in such a mess. But God still loves us. And He can take a mess that we're in and He can make something good happen. As I close this lesson tonight, this parable teaches us the sinner's responsibility in returning to God to secure one soul's salvation. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Again, Jesus is saying, come. Come to me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He shall find rest unto your soul, for thy yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Perhaps you need to come back home. You need to come back to God. Some may have left the church, have left the faith. You need to come back home. You need to get your life together. It might be someone here that haven't obeyed the gospel, don't know what must they do in order to be saved. You must hear God's word. Romans 10, 17. Believe the same, Hebrews 11, 6. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess that Christ Jesus is God's Son, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Then be willing to be buried in that liquid tomb for the remission of your sins, according to Acts 2 and verse 38. Mark 16, 15 and 16. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Remembering that once you obey the gospel, you're now added to the Lord's church. You're not voted on. You don't have anyone to raise their hands to vote you in. God adds you, and God can take you out. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're here this evening, live that life, the life that the prodigal had lived. And you're a child of God. You need to come back home tonight. You need to come back. You need to ask for the prayers of the church that you might grow strong. Grow stronger. 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Brother Johnny is going to lead us in our invitation song. There might be a mother, might be a father. Might be a brother or a sister. I don't know. They may need prayer tonight. They may need strength tonight. You're surrounded by brothers and sisters who love you. We're not going to act like that older brother over there we didn't talk about tonight, but we're not going to act like him. We're going to welcome you home with open arms, love, and as Paul said in Romans 16, 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Will you come? Come right now as we understand the same.